So once again, we look into our Lord's word, seeking heavenly blessings, as God has declared in Ephesians chapter 1, where we read, you don't need to turn there, Ephesians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." This is how we grow in the knowledge of our Savior, by studying His word. Our faith is strengthened, like I said in our prayer. We trust Him more and more as every day goes by, because we see His controlling hand, His sovereignty. He's Lord for a reason. Because He's God, He's Lord. That's a good reason to be Lord, isn't it? In Romans 10, verse 17, we read this, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Turn to the gospel according to Luke, if you would, please. And we'll pick up in chapter 21, where we left off last week. We're on this path that the apostles are on as our Lord approaches that very day where He'll go to the cross and sacrifice Himself, where He will provide Himself a sacrifice for the sins of His people. And we're learning from our Lord as He approaches that day, the same way He is teaching His apostles. Remember in our last study, the Lord looked up. He was in the temple and He looked up and He saw a woman giving her all to the treasury. We consider our Lord's omnipotence in knowing all things. God who knows the hearts of men. God who turns the hearts of men according to His will. We considered how the Lord was pleased with what He saw in this woman. Why? Because this is the works of God. This is His works, giving a new heart to one of His children. This woman gave her all because God gave her the heart to give her all. He said to His disciples, let's read that, "Of truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." She gave everything. Everything she had, she laid in the offering of that temple that day. We know this. God who turns the hearts of men according to His will. And in this occasion, our loving God taught His disciples and you and I along with them, what we give or what we do is not the point. It's why we give and why we do what we do that matters. We who have been born again have seen what we are. We know what we have earned, yet by God's mercy, through His love for His people, we also see His grace towards us, His love for us. He spared not His only begotten Son. And we see this and we act accordingly out of love for Him who first loved us. Was this not also a picture of trust? Was this not woman not giving everything she had, trusting that God would provide her next step for her? I have learned this lesson myself personally in a way that I don't even know how to put it into words to describe how God provides for this very thing. I can't even explain to you folks. How it is that God gives me a message to stand here before you. I remember Kathy several times when this came about. She'd look at me and she'd say, "Man, where did you get that? You weren't thinking anything about that. All of a sudden," I said, "Honey, this is just the Lord." I get up in the morning, I sit down at the computer, I start typing out, and the Lord just guides what He wants me to get up and say. Folks, I'm telling you, our Lord provides in ways that you and I can't even see. How often have we just been amazed at Mike's poem on the sons of Esau, thinking about how God has provided for us through the means of all that is around us. You've heard me say this before. Look at what our Lord has provided for you and I right now, this very moment. He's brought entire history of the entire world together so that you and I would stand exactly where we are right now and hear our Savior's words. That's our Lord providing for us. And this woman knew it. She gave what she gave because God had given her a heart to give. We do what we do because God has given us a heart to do that. God's people don't stand and brag about what they do. In fact, our Lord tells us this. He says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. I could have it backwards. It could be the other way. But either way, you get the point. Why? It's so that our flesh won't start bragging about what it is we're doing. And our spirit will give all the glory to God for whatever it is. This woman gave. Was this not also a picture of trust? Was not this woman trusting the Lord would provide all of her needs? This is a lifetime lesson. One that we learn over and over and over again. We can trust Him. In Romans 8:36 it says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What gave Paul the persuasion to do this? All the experience that God had done and shown him that this was of the Lord's hand. How often can we look into our very own lives and see that was the Lord's hand? It's so obvious to me that God used His hand, moved that to happen for my sake. I've shared this with you once before, but I know this for a fact, folks. I was about to go over a cliff on my motorcycle one day. Kathy and I were coming out of the gorge up there in Nevada City, and it's a windy, windy road, and there's a couple of small passing lanes that you can get onto, but you got to really get onto it and get around it. And on a motorcycle, when you're getting on it, if you're inexperienced, as I am, I know I've ridden for a while, but I'm still kind of an inexperienced rider. If you're not leaning into it right, you're going to go right off and keep going straight. And that's what was going on. I probably hit 50 miles an hour passing this guy. Kathy was out in front of me. I didn't want to lose her. I knew there wasn't another passing lane after this, so I jumped out to get around that truck, and I was going. I couldn't lean the bike. I couldn't do anything. I saw the curve coming. I know I was going right over the top of that curve. And I just looked up and saw Kathy like that, and in my mind, I was saying goodbye. I was literally saying goodbye. There goes my wife, and I'm going over the cliff. Now, I don't know how I did it, but somehow or another, I laid that bike down on its side to grab in, and it caught a little curb, and it literally threw me right back into the lane going the right direction, and it happened so fast. When we got to the top of the hill, the lady and the guy in the truck that I had passed looked at me and they were just like, what in the world? I'm telling you, folks, God's hand was on me at that moment in a way that I have not experienced since. But that's what we see. That's the trust that we put in our Lord. How often do we talk about the fact that we go down the road and the lights turn red on us? Okay, Lord, you're protecting me for something. You get what I'm pointing at here? You get what this lady is kind of, the picture of this lady is leading us to? What have we to fear? If God loved us, and He has, He's loved the people from before the world was. That's what His Word says. And we can trust that Word. He's never going to let us go. This virus thing that's going around that everybody's freaked out about, it's just another thing that's happening in the world around us. It's just another thing on this path that we are on, this path through the valley of shadow of death. And our Lord has it. I guarantee you this, and I can do this on God's word. I guarantee you, you will not go before the day that it was marked in the books of God's books for you, and you will not go in any other way than He has already got for you to have to go. That's it. Plain and simple. That's His words. Our great God looked upon the work that He had begun in this woman, and He was pleased, not in her, but what He had done. You see, all the glory goes to our Lord. It wasn't her works of giving that pleased the Lord. It was the Lord giving her a new heart to give Him all the credit and to put her trust in Him. Her trust was in Him because He gave her that gift of faith. Just as He gives you and I the gift to believe, the gift to trust Him for all that we have. Her trusting Him was His work. Her believing in Him was His work. And she would be the first one to give Him the glory for it. So let's pick up where we left off in Luke chapter 21 at verse 5, if you would, and read through verse 9 with me. "And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, He said," speaking of our Lord, speaking to those around Him, "as for these things, which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked Him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign shall there be when these things shall come to pass? And He," our Lord, "said, take heed." Take heed. This is God speaking to you and I. Take heed. Beware. "Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." Interesting. Do you think it was coincidence? Do you think it was coincidence that we've come to this very verse this very day? I'm telling you, this is another example of God's hand. How many times have we seen the Lord bring us to a study in His Word that just fits the day that we are walking perfectly? This is what I'm talking about, the trusting in the Lord. Don Fortner, he introduces this next section of Scripture this way. He says, "We are living in troublesome times. These are perilous days. These are difficult days for everyone. But they are particularly difficult for people who believe God and seek in all things and above all things to honor Him." Fortner says, "I know that your minds are constantly full of questions for which there seems to be no answers. Moral decadency, fornication, adultery, homosexuality. They're not just tolerated in our society, but they are actively promoted in our public schools and by law. The brutal slaughter of unborn babies is as common as the removal of warts. And by some perverse logic, the same people who want to protect rattlesnakes from extinction weep over the misuse of laboratory rats. They tell us that the murder of a baby is a matter of choice. Domestic violence is an epidemic in the world around us. War is an everyday activity, and the religion of the day is nothing short of men worshiping themselves." Fortner goes on to say, "When I think about these things, three passages of Scripture come to mind. In the first one," he says, "is Deuteronomy 31, verse 17, where the Lord says this, 'Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us?' Another verse that comes to Don's mind over that is Psalms 10, verse 4, where he says, 'The wicked, through pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts.' A third verse that comes to Don's mind over that is Galatians 6, verse 7, where it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I ask you this morning, how do we deal with these things? How are we to react to the things going on around us this very day? Where are we to find help for our souls in these perilous times? First, and we've already looked at the Lord's lead into this lesson, and our Lord sees and knows all things. That's the first thing we need to look to. Our Lord is not blind to what's going on around us. Does He not cause evil along with good? Is He not called Lord? He knows all things, as we saw in the picture, the woman's heart and the hearts of all of the others. They were all open to the Lord of creation. But next we see that all that is in this world shall be destroyed. Our Lord goes on after that and He says, "As for these things, these wonderfully adorned things that are around us," all these things that the men at that moment were considering blessings, "As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which they shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." We see that this world shall be destroyed. Whatever we can think of, whatever we can see or hear right now before us, it must be knocked down. It must be destroyed. For the very ground that we walk on has been cursed through sin. "Not a stone shall be left one on top of another," it says. And to prove His words, our Lord brought a great army against Israel, against Jerusalem, just a few years later. These warnings were not just prophetic for end times, but also for the national Israel at that time. Folks, this world is not our home. We are just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, is how the song goes. Let not the things of this world turn our minds from the treasures that we have in heavenly places. We can enjoy the good things of God, yes. Creation, God's creation, has a lot to offer, but do not trust what we see or experience here on this earth. Do not put our faith or our trust in the things of this world. You want to put your trust in something? Well, here's something that you can truly trust in. Turn to John chapter 10, please. Turn over to the 10th chapter of John. I had it marked. I didn't. And while you're turned there, let me read for you from Malachi 3:6. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." In Jeremiah 31:3, we read it this way, "The Lord hath appeared unto me of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Here in the 10th chapter of John, we read this. Our Lord says in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." In verse 16, He says it this way. He says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." And then in verse 27 we read this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Not that they might follow me, not that they could if they would, but they follow me. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ in His Word. We seek after our Lord because He has done a work in our hearts. All the glory goes to our Father. All the glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. All the glory goes to the Spirit of God who called us out of darkness. Salvation is of the Lord. Done. Christ said it himself, it is finished on that cross. He says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, do we see that? They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Folks, we dare not put our trust in the things of this world. We dare not have any confidence in anything of this flesh of ours. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen. That concludes this morning.